Who's the hot super blog that's a switch machine to all the folk? Switch. You're so right. Hey there, guys. Want to switch your current account? Let me tell you about Switch. Switch. The Switch guarantee means all your payments move automatically.
Switch. Switching current accounts has never been easier. Over 3 million people have moved banks with the Current Account Switch service. Visit currentaccountswitch.co.uk.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to 20 Yard End Zone. I'm Russ Cohen. We've got Paolo and Footloose. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. How are you doing?
Doing real good. So, Paolo, what did you do on your week off?
Oh, you know, just a little road trip to the city of Ottawa. Actually, if you don't mind me taking a second here, Russ. It was offered a nice trip from the good folks at MBNA. Had a train ride down with my wife to Ottawa, basically the day of the game, and put us up in a hotel. Obviously gave us some nice tickets. We had club tickets at TD Place, which we hadn't had a chance to sit in yet. And,
nice.
Yeah, I got to see a heck of a game. That was Ottawa and Hamilton, who went to overtime. Hamilton ended up coming out on the better end of that game, but a heck of an
experience. All right, first question. Hold on. Did your wife complain that the game went into overtime? Be honest.
100%. It was okay. It was a rainy night. It was a rainy night. It was a cold night. You know, the saving grace for us was the fact that we were in the club section, so we could go up,
right,
sit in the right in the temperature controlled area behind glass.
Yes,
have some drinks.
Paulo's fancy.
All worked out. A little bit fancy.
Fancy seats.
One,
fancy,
yeah,
guy.
Fancy. So thanks to NBNA for hooking us up. That was pretty awesome.
That's awesome,
Russ. We will have to
really
at some point in the show. We will have to at some point in the show talk about the hotel Paolo stayed at.
We can talk about it now. Go ahead.
We can talk about it. Where'd you stay,
yeah,
Paolo?
So we got to spend a nice night at the Chateau Laurier.
Fancy
Chateau Laurier.
Hotel, fanciest,
yeah,
hotel in Ottawa.
Pretty darn fancy.
Well, it has to be if it's in French. I mean, you know.
Yeah, well, exactly right. The Chateau Laurier is probably, you know, at the time anyway, was Ottawa's most extravagant hotel, coming in at a price, if I read the notes correctly, of about $2 million to build in the early 1900s. I also found it kind of weird. Chateau Laurier is named after Sir Wilfrid Laurier, who was prime minister at the time. So they actually named this hotel after a sitting prime minister. I thought that was so weird. I mean, could you imagine a Barack Obama center at this point?
Why are these guys always sitting?
The Bill Clinton,
why can't Barack they ever say they were? Why can't they ever say they were standing? They always say, "Oh, he was a sitting president." He didn't sit the whole time. These guys don't sit the whole time. Why do they say that?
Well, some of them do, right? Was it? Was,
yeah,
it?
I guess
so, Russ,
some of the bigger ones.
Russ, when the Grey Cup is in Ottawa, we got to ride a pumpkin farm donkey through the lobby of the Chateau Laurier. As
only
long
if
as
I
it's
could
not
crush
cruel
pumpkins.
To the animals.
Yeah, only if I could crush it. Now I'm looking at the hotel itself and the amenities. Considering I was a hotel restaurant major and worked in that field for over 10 years in management, it looks pretty nice. I have to say, I'm impressed. They've kept it up well. There is one little clunky thing on the website that I think is funny, that I think is outdated. They have an e-postcard. Boy, there's nothing like getting an e-postcard from a friend to say that you care, right?
That's brilliant. So here's the real story about the hotel.
Okay.
According to the Canadian Paranormal Society, it is one of the most haunted buildings in Canada.
I
and
had a feeling you were going there. I swear I knew it.
You see, there you go.
No, but I only swear I knew it because of you. Because I knew for some reason that you would think that ghosts are real and Bigfoot's real. Like, only you.
Moneymaker's going to find Bigfoot. Okay. Let's just get that out of the way first.
After he's done making money. Yeah.
Yeah. So the story is the Chateau Laurier was built by Charles Hayes. And Charles Hayes built the Chateau Laurier, extravagant hotel. He also owned the Grand Trunk Railway, which became the CN rail line, which is Canada's national coast-to-coast rail line, which actually our farm bordered on. So I mean, you know, the trains would wake me up seven times a night, every night.
Yeah, you must have loved it.
Well, you know what? You get used to it. And then you go back and you don't get used to it. So Charles Hayes went over to the UK to buy furniture for his new Crown Jewel extravagant hotel. He also had a second hotel planned to be built in my hometown of Prescott, Ontario, which at the time...
I've been there,
which
by
now
the way.
Is, nice, you've been there.
Nice
it's a little town
place.
Of... Little town. Vast river on the St. Lawrence, but a murky gene pool.
Yes.
But it's it was a very important port at the time because it was you know the mouth of the St. Lawrence River, the forwarding trade, the lumber, whatever. It was also the home of
J.P.
Weiser.
Yeah, the illegal booze. I'm sure there was rum running going on.
Oh no, it was
legal. I get it.
J.P. Weiser was from Prescott, so that was very significant. But
wait, J.P. Weiser, did he merge with Bud, and that's how they came up with Budweiser? Is that true?
J.P. Weiser is in Canada the biggest name in whiskey.
Whiskey.
You know what? Speak of Budweiser, but Labatt had a farm.
Let's not speak of it. It's lousy beer. Let's be real. It's lousy.
Yeah, let's have your watered down stuff. Anyway, Charles Hayes goes over.
No, I drink Canadian. I drink Canadian beer. I have Molson in the fridge. I don't drink American beer. I drink like snooty IPAs and Canadian beer. That's what I drink. Go ahead, sir.
So I'm saying that having a case of Genesee in my fridge right now.
Oh, what are you, in college?
Forever.
Yeah, exactly. Mentally, yes. So Charles Hayes goes to the UK, buys furniture, comes back with his family from the UK on his friend's new ship, the Titanic.
Uh-huh.
So Charles said the Titanic goes, Charles Hayes' family saved. Charles Hayes was the first body recovered on the Titanic wreck, the owner of the Chateau Laurier, and it is believed that Charles Hayes' ghost haunts the Chateau Laurier, and there's all kinds of documentation of really, really weird, eerie, bizarre stuff that has happened there over the years, documented by people that had no idea the story of Charles Hayes. So, anyway, Paulo was all happy about staying at the Chateau Laurier, and I kept asking him, hey, let me know if anything weird happens. He's like, what? Haunted, dude, you know, like, so, anyway.
There's no
if you're in Ottawa, you're going
Charles
to go to Red
Hayes
Blacks is... game, you're going to stay at the Chateau Laurier, you know, wait for something cool to happen.
Listen, there's no Twitter account for Charles Hayes' ghost. Unless there is, it doesn't exist.
Yeah, he's the guy that tweeted out that Henry Burris had a great month in August.
But listen, Paolo, did you experience any paranormal?
Yeah, well, I was keeping my eyes open for it. Nothing I can really speak to. I mean, those pillows were ungodly comfortable. I don't know if that counts, but...
it doesn't. He wouldn't want you to be comfortable. The ghost would be very pissed off. He would not want you to be comfortable. Let's be real.
Tell you what,
for
a brief second there, getting out of the bathroom after my shower, I had a little trouble with the doorknob and, you know, a little suspicion started to sneak into my mind. Is this, you know,
yeah,
this
but
Mr.
that's just
because
you're not that coordinated. That has nothing to do with a ghost.
Your hands were wet.
Yeah. Good points by you guys. So maybe I was okay after all.
It sounds like it's just another one of those made up stories to make Jeff sleep easier at night. That's what it sounds like. But anyhow.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about the playoff structure. Footloose, I imagine you're going to be able to explain this better than anybody, so give it a go.
Well, how it works, if for our American listeners that aren't familiar with how the CFL works, we have the East and the West, and there are five teams in the West, four teams in the East, And historically, the West, over the last maybe two or three decades, the West has been a lot stronger than the East. So they put this crossover rule in. If the fourth place, the top three in each make it, so the second play third, the first gets a bye, and then the conference final is the first against the winner of the second and third. So if the third place team in the East, no, if the fourth place team in the West has a better record than the third place team in the East, the fourth place team in the West steals their spot. I guess it could work the other way around if the East was dominating and the West wasn't.
Okay.
It's only happened a couple of times. So Edmonton is going to cross over into the East Division for the playoffs, which sets up a very likely scenario of a Calgary-Edmonton Grey Cup, which is bar none the biggest rivalry in the CFL. You know, the Battle of Alberta. So all of a sudden, instead of Calgary and Edmonton clashing in the Western Final, as they have so many times, they're going to meet in the Grey Cup, which makes it an all-West Grey Cup. The people in Alberta know how to party. They know how to put on an event. So they're going to invade Toronto and add some relevance to Toronto's passiveness over the Grey Cup. And it's going to be one hell of an event, assuming that the Eskimos get through. They'll have to get through Hamilton and Ottawa. I'm not sure in what order. But it sets up a really, really interesting scenario in all-West Grey Cup for the first time in Grey Cup history.
Now, before Paolo answers, just one, you know, feeble question here. Why can't they just get a 10th team? Why don't they expand to make it 10? 9 just seems so odd.
There have been a lot of attempts, and there's still work being done on getting a 10th team in Atlantic Canada to even
Where's Atlantic Canada? I've never heard of that.
Atlantic Canada is what we call New Brunswick and Nova Scotia.
New
Brunswick. PEI and
I
Newfoundland, that whole east of Quebec.
They're an hour ahead, though. That would cause problems. They're an hour ahead. Like, people would turn on the game there, it would be already in, like, the second quarter, and they'd be mad. Like, that would be a problem, I think.
Isn't Newfoundland half an hour?
Half an hour and a half?
No, it's an hour. Why? Yeah. How could it be in half an hour?
Newfoundland has a half hour
time
difference.
No, there's
an
half
hour
time zone.
Newfoundland has a half
hour. Is it really?
Time.
Where?
Yes.
Where?
Newfoundland.
I challenge you. Where is that?
Go ask Twitter. Go ask Twitter where the half hour time zone.
Go ask Twitter.
And there is no half hour time zone.
Hashtag...
Nobody would do that.
Newfoundland.
If anybody would do it, it would be the province of Newfoundland.
And if you've ever been to Newfoundland, you would know that they would be the most likely to do that. So, we have a half-hour time difference here.
Well, I will tell you this. So, all right, here's an interesting thing. Hold on. This will back up Paolo a little bit. So, I don't understand this. I am not a math major, but this just seems ridiculous. So, in Newfoundland, you basically keep time by subtracting 3.5 hours from the universal time. Like, by the time I get done with that, I'm missing my appointment. Like, why is it like that?
Russ, what they actually do in Newfoundland is they all set their watches and clocks to Newfoundland time. So for them, it works.
Okay.
Oh. I never thought of it that way.
Like, when I moved to Dallas and it was an hour, it was Central time, I wasn't, like, off by an hour in everything I did. I figured it out.
No, I get that. But this is 3.5
Doesn't
hours.
Doesn't sound
like
you do.
No, I do. This, I have a dual time zone watch, too, there, Big Shot. But like, I would have to have that because 3.5 hours is ridiculous. Just make it 3 or 4. Why is it 3.5?
Because it's Newfoundland.
That's right.
See, you don't have an answer. You don't know either.
No. We
Nobody
all get
knows.
It. We all get
we
it.
We don't all get it. No. We don't get it. We're just accepting it. We don't know. Nobody knows. I'll ask the question.
You know what?
On
we need to
later.
We need to do some research, crack research for next week, and we'll find out why Newfoundland has only a half hour time difference instead of 2 hours.
There you go.
Yeah, it's just
trivia question.
It's just weird. It's just weird. But anyhow, Paolo, what do you think about the playoff structure and how it's working out?
I think Edmonton has just about clinched it. you know, there is still some possibility they could make it into that third seed, but that does seem like the most realistic option at this point. Myself, I'm not quite ready to, you know, give the East to Edmonton, in spite of the fact that they've played much better football and have currently a better record than any team in the East Division. You know, Hamilton's going to have Zach Collaros coming back. Ottawa has been, I don't want to say a Jekyll and Hyde team, because they've probably been more, which one's the bad one? Hyde? Yeah, they've been more of a...
See, that's the question. No, wait. I mean, it's not really clear. I think the media painted Hyde to be the bad guy.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think Jekyll's just as bad. I think they're both bad. I really think they're both bad.
Remember when they did that on Bugs Bunny?
Yes.
That was awesome.
That was awesome. Most things in life go back to Bugs Bunny because they've covered it. It's true.
And if Bugs Bunny didn't, Seinfeld did. It's one or the other.
Right. It's one or the other. I agree with that.
Yeah.
All right, so Paulo.
Before you carry on, Paulo, it's interesting to note this is going to be the first time in history that the winner, this is more than likely to happen because Ottawa faces Winnipeg, who's very strong right now. This may be the first time in history that the first place team in the East has a losing record.
Right. Is this your lock of the week? Is this one of those things where we can call a number?
No, it's not a stone cold lead pipe lock, but it's just you know, the odds are in Edmonton's favor right now. But it's interesting because the first couple of weeks of the season, the East was winning against the West, and then all of a sudden, the world turned upside down for the East.
Yeah.
Okay. Now
yeah.
Here's a really dumb question before Paulo goes on. So when you hear these guys with the stone cold lead pipe locks, and they're going to give you all this free information and all these winners, and I call. Do they really give me a free winner, or do they say, call another line for a free winner, and then they just automatically charge you? Like, I don't think anything's free.
I think you're finally figuring it out, Russ.
Yeah, good thing I never bet.
Half the people, they give half the people one result and half the people the other result.
You can place your bets in Newfoundland half an hour into the game.
You know, wait a minute. So, like, if I'm in Newfoundland if it's 3:30 in Newfoundland, can I still place a bet on a game that started at 1:00 in the States?
Wow.
Because then I'd have a pretty good idea of how the game's going.
Yeah, we're going
like,
to have to
sit
down
dumb...
us and explain this whole time zone.
No,
do you remember, Paulo, do you remember when that happened in Pro Line a couple of years ago with the European soccer scores?
I remember that.
There's a lottery, Russ, in Canada called Pro Line, which is basically it's a parlay. You pick 3 to 6 winners.
Okay.
It's against the spread, and it's a legal lottery, and they allowed you to buy European soccer games up until 7:00 at night, but the games were played at 1:00 in the afternoon. So people were buying tickets for games that had already happened, and it messed up the system pretty bad. No, only a few caught it and realized that they could do it because not a lot of people are betting on Italian Serie A, which is the league it happened in. But it's a pretty interesting scenario.
I'm just thinking there's a guy named Gord in Newfoundland who's probably a bookie that I could probably take advantage of.
we'll look into that. We'll look into that for you, Russ.
All right, please do. So anyhow, so the playoff structure is strong. You like the way it's going to go?
Yeah, I mean, it makes it interesting. It keeps each of the divisions sort of accountable, I guess. If your top three teams aren't good enough, then you're going to get a team from the other division come in and try and fight for your trophy or for your division. So I think it's definitely the right way to go. Do the sponsors love it because we potentially end up with two teams from the East or two teams from the West, more likely this year, in the Grey Cup game? Probably not. But, it's not all about sponsors,
I disagree
right?
with
the best two teams.
I would disagree with that because I just read that Edmonton is the most watched, highest rating team in the CFL on TV. They've surpassed Saskatchewan. And I know that CFL is very Toronto-centric from a business standpoint, but I think that the days of when our parents had Grey Cup parties and it was the East against the West, and regardless of who was representing the East, everyone in the East cheered for the East and everyone in the West cheered for the West. I think those days are long gone, where people just want to see good football teams and the best game. The biggest challenge for the Grey Cup is can it go on the ratings? Can it beat whoever the Patriots are playing that week, or whoever in Western Canada, whoever the Seahawks are playing that week, or something like that? But I think that if it's Calgary, Edmonton, I think if you're a CFL fan, you're going to lock in. But if it's Hamilton or Ottawa against Calgary, I don't think that that's going to draw any more viewers because it's an East-West matchup. I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, first off, the Grey Cup is going to way outrate whoever's playing that week in the NFL. I mean, the Grey Cup pulls in, 3.5 to 4 million viewers.
All right, now
kind
I'm going to get involved. What week is that? What's the date?
28th of November.
Yeah,
it's Thanksgiving weekend for you guys.
Right. So yeah. Thanksgiving actually does draw pretty good ratings for the NFL. Let's see who the
we're talking about ratings in Canada. We're talking about ratings in Canada. You go to the sports bar, there's going to be a wall of TVs, and there's going to be a couple on the Grey Cup and a couple on the NFL. And there are a lot of people who are NFL fans and not CFL fans, and a couple people that are diehard Grey Cup fans. Like it's not.
Right.
I'm not saying it's going to outdraw the Grey Cup, but it always challenges the Grey Cup. If the Grey Cup is a crappy game, the channels are going to get switched.
Which has always kind of confused me. Why not just throw the game on Saturday, or Friday for that matter? Friday and Saturday have become such CFL nights.
Which is a Monday?
Or the 27th, whatever the Sunday. It's a Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern time. 6 p.m. Eastern time, 6:30 in Newfoundland.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. So they do have... There's an 8:30 game. So technically, there really isn't anything that's going to challenge it because there's only one late game, which is 4:25 Chiefs-Broncos. But that'll be over by maybe the second quarter of the Grey Cup. And then nothing starts until 8:30, which the Grey Cup's mostly over by then, except for, they show a halftime show. It'll probably be late fourth quarter or over. So I don't think there's any real competition this year.
Yeah, I mean it's all competition to a certain extent, and depending on what type of a fan you are, I guess my point is just that the game itself always draws a lot of viewers. Like I say, somewhere
no question.
And a half,
I mean, I watch it every year.
Range.
I do.
Yeah,
I may not watch singular games a lot, but I watch the Grey Cup. I always do.
Yeah.
You know what they need is they need the that thing you guys have on Super Bowl Day on the Animal Channel, and Russ, I know you watch it.
I cover it.
Puppy,
I haven't been there
puppy
yet.
Puppy Bowl or whatever. What's it called?
Yes. Puppy Bowl.
Puppy Bowl?
Puppy,
so they they could have a puppy Grey Cup.
I cover it every year. I interview people. I've never been to it, but they swear they're going to get me there one year, and I'll like it better than the Super Bowl. I admit it. Go ahead.
We need to have the puppy Grey Cup in Newfoundland. But started a half an hour earlier than they would normally, so that Russ doesn't get confused.
Maybe we choose a different animal up here or something. We could do
it'd probably have to be something
groundhog
related.
Groundhogs, yeah.
Bison bull. We should put our bisons. We should put our buffaloes and bisons up against the Budweiser horses. You know, the ones that kicked the extra point a couple of years ago because they usually go for two. The Clydesdales,
yes.
We should have that. That'd be
all right,
good TV.
That's a great idea.
We'll give serious thought to that. But anyhow, moving on, I do have something serious. I found a GoFundMe account. There is a former CFL player, Baron Miles. You guys remember him?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So his wife, Jennifer, has some sort of bad stomach abdominal condition that they can't seem to find the answer for, and they've built up a lot of bills, and so they're trying to reach a goal of 30,000, and they're at 21,000. So if anybody feels like they would like to help, that would be great. I've shared it on my Facebook account. Maybe we could share it on our account later. And, you know, it's one of those things where sometimes, you know, you go from doctor to doctor to doctor to doctor to find out, and then in the process, you know, bills occur. Even in Canada. I mean, that's, you know.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, so I just wanted to point that out, and I'll do what I can. And so, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens with this, but we'd like to help if we can.
Absolutely. And Baron Miles is a class act. He played in the league as a star defensive back for years. He's a coach with Edmonton now. He's their defensive back coach, and got the opportunity to meet him when I worked at Pacific Trading Cards and we did the CFL project with them, and just an absolutely great guy. And you just want that to turn out very well for him and for whatever's wrong to be diagnosed so they can move on and go forward with treatment.
Yeah, so we wish his wife well and hope that they can get to a resolution on that. That would be great. All right, so here's another one. Now, this is, I know a little something about this. There is a CFL Alumni Man of the Year Award, and there's co-winners this year, and I know the first winner or the first co-winner, Pinball Clemens. And Peter Martin's the other one. I don't know Peter, sorry. But I do know Pinball Clemens. I believe I even watched him in the Grey Cup back when I went with you, Footloose, and so that's kind of cool.
He was,
he was in the league.
Coach.
Then.
He was the coach of the Argos. He was the coach of the Argos.
Yes, that's what it was. He was the coach. That's right. I remember he was
former player.
Okay.
And Peter Martin is a former Argonaut, also from the going back to the early 70s. And
yeah, I mean, he looks like a nice
fellow.
He's got a nice smile. Yeah, he's got a nice smile. You know, he looks like a nice guy.
He's got a nice smile.
He does. Well, I can't admit that. Like, is there something wrong with that?
No, it's fine.
Are
I
you
just
jealous because
you
the man has
that,
a nice smile?
Well, I mean, you know, you haven't seen my smile in a while. It's pretty nice. Here you are talking about.
I have seen it.
Peter Martin.
I could picture your
smile. I just
smile
don't hear
you
say those nice things about me, Russ. That's all.
Well, have you brightened your teeth? Because his teeth are pretty white. I mean, have you done anything to improve your teeth?
All right, I'm out of this conversation.
See?
I'm gonna steer it a different direction to save you here, Paulo. Pinball Clemens, Russ. Did you know, being a Mets fan, Pinball Clemens is the cousin of Dwight Gooden?
Ah, I did not know that. That's cool.
Yeah, that's a cool little trivia fact there. Pinball Clemens went to William and Mary and is the cousin of Doc Gooden. You being a Mets fan,
that
is awesome. All over that.
I like that.
How is Doc doing, by the way?
There has not been an update since the last update. And I told people not to rush to judgment because I ran into Gooden a couple of years ago, and it seemed like he was on the straight and narrow. It doesn't mean you can't be now, but I just think people were sort of rushing to judgment, and maybe it was like a momentary blip. I haven't heard anything bad since, and I'm actually going to be at an event next month where he's on the schedule, so I'm certainly going to go see him, and I hope he's doing well. All right, so here's something else, because I just don't want us to run out of time. We've got a couple minutes. So Darian Durant apparently is in some heated contract negotiations, and then there's a meme that's made, and I don't like it. It says, "We will hoist that trophy again before I walk out of town. You can mark that down." So wait a minute. How good could negotiations be if you're basically saying, if we win, I'm walking.
I think he's trying to make the point that that he's going to sign. He wants to be there, you know, for the turnaround in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan's obviously looked quite good through the second half of this year, and you know, might
but then
even
why
be a contender
walk,
next
why
year.
Talk about walking out of? Here's my problem with it. You're correct in what you're saying, but why say before I walk out of town? Like, that, why even talk about that? Now he's brought up the possibility that he is leaving.
Well, I think it is a real possibility that he doesn't come back. I mean, talking about an older quarterback who's been injured. You have a team in Saskatchewan that you know, they have a whole new look. You know, it's not a sure thing. I mean, I think he does want to be back, obviously. And the messages from the team about whether or not Durant's going to come back, I'd say have been mixed. I've heard, I've heard a little bit kind of uncertainty, I guess you'd say, from whether it's directly from Chris Jones or from the organization kind of in general. So, yeah, there's a question there. He obviously wants to be there, and that's always nice to see. But time's going to tell on that one.
We're going to go into overtime probably a minute or two because there's no way Footloose will be able to answer this quickly and concisely. But what's your feeling on this, Footloose?
On Darian Durant?
Yeah.
I think that Saskatchewan has some leverage because I think there are going to be some good quarterbacks available in the off season, and I think Mitchell Gale is a very good quarterback in the waiting. It's a game of next man up, especially at the quarterback position, and you know Darian Durant does have that long history of injuries. So it's almost like the situation in Ottawa. Yeah, they're happy with Henry Burris; he was most outstanding player, but you need an insurance policy. And I think with Darian Durant, because of his injury past, as good as he is, I think they do need an insurance policy. And you know, I think a controversy at quarterback is a better situation than losing him outright. So I think that they should do whatever they can to re-sign him. And as far as the turnaround in Saskatchewan, it has already started. I mean, the last month of the season, they have been a very good football team. So considering the drastic start that they had, in the first couple months of the season, they're definitely headed in the right direction. So and they need him to be a part of that.
Okay. How about this? Darian Durant, you're 34 years old. Sign the contract. Where are you going to go? I mean, it's not like the NFL is going to take you at 35 years old. Like, where else would he possibly play other than another
Toronto
team, obviously? Toronto?
Toronto.
Montreal.
Is that where all the old
Montreal
players?
As well.
Is that where the old players go?
Well, Montreal's in an unusual quarterbacking situation too, because they just let Vernon Adams play his first game as a starter, and he looked really good. So, really poisoned the pocket, evaded pressure well, made his reads, had a great game. So I don't know. I mean, it's every year there's a bit of a carousel, and you look at some of the great backups that are out there that aren't playing right now. Travis Lule's not playing. Drew Tate in Calgary is amazing, and he's not playing. If Ricky Ray's back, what happens to Drew Willey? By the way, Drew Willey, if you ever get a chance to Google Matt Sarrazin and Drew Willey, put them in the same Google, they're totally separated at birth.
Okay.
Matt Sarrazin from Friday Night Lights.
I don't.
They're the same guy.
Okay, I mean, I didn't see the movie. I didn't watch the TV show. Like, I just don't know.
It's on a half hour.
I'll take your word for it.
Finland.
Yeah, it's on Twitter, I think.
All right, so let me ask you, Footloose, you're a collectibles expert. A pair of Darian Durant game-worn cleats he's selling on eBay for $650 autographed. Worth it? Not worth it. Thumbs up or thumbs down?
If you're a Saskatchewan Rough Rider fan, and you have a Rough Rider Wall of Fame, if there's another guy that's willing to pay $650 for it, then yes, it's worth $650. If nobody's willing to pay $650 for it, then no. That's
okay,
an evasive answer.
What a hobby answer.
That is.
What a hobby
now
answer.
Now, hold on. We're going to get a real answer from Paolo because that was you waffled.
I'd guess
there are two pairs. Now, Paolo, there are two pairs for sale, and one of them have red laces. Does that matter?
Oh, wow, the red laces. Maybe a Canada Day pair or something.
Or they're
yeah,
pink.
Sure,
maybe it's
not
for breast cancer awareness. They could be pink.
Okay.
It's hard to tell.
Yeah.
Does that
matter?
Well,
hey, if you can find a nice photo to kind of validate the cleats, you get that to go with it. Yeah, I think it's absolutely worth it. And obviously it's going to have a bigger price point in Saskatchewan. But that sounds like, you know, if I had $650 lying around, $650 US, so we're talking probably almost $1,000 Canadian. I might think about it. Maybe
okay.
A touch on the high
and just
side.
To be clear, this is not for charity. This looks like it's going in Darian Durant's pocket. So just to throw that out there, it's coming off his website.
Yeah, I think
so even if he
charity
doesn't sign, he's going to make his money. That's his point.
So the fair equation, the fair equation on this, or the fair comparison, Paulo, is would you pay that for a pair of Henry Burris shoes signed as an Ottawa?
I think I can get them cheaper. I think I can get them cheaper, right?
Game-worn autograph shoes, Henry Burris. Yeah, I'd say that's probably worth the money.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. So if you're in Saskatchewan, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see if they even exist. Hold on. Game-worn. Please.
I love when you search on Twitter during the show, Russ. It's the best.
This is not Twitter. I'm searching Google. Thank you.
Oh, the World Wide Web.
Yeah.
I can't search on Google because my Mac won't turn
my
on.
My website, Sportsology, has been on the World Wide Web for 16 years, Paolo, just to let you know. So it's not like I wasn't born yesterday. Yeah, right now, let's see. So far, it's coming up short in the Henry Burris market. I don't know if the demand's there. We might have to call Henry. Let's see.
Yeah.
You know what the best Henry Burris collectible would be?
What?
He used to wear these really bizarre, freaky red contact lenses during games. Like if you looked at him,
somebody's eye.
If you looked at
no.
him, it looked like he had cyborg vision. And to get
no,
game
I don't
used,
want that.
His game used contact lenses to put in a little frame on the wall. That would be the signature Henry Burris item.
No,
I don't remember that. It's awesome.
No, I don't want that. Now you're making me throw up. That's disgusting.
I interviewed him after a Calgary, a Montreal game when he played in Calgary, and I swear to God, I kept looking at his eyes thinking, oh, my God, I'm interviewing the Terminator. Like,
I do remember
I have to tell you, the Henry Burris market on eBay is very slow. I mean, you can get autographed photos. You could get a card with, you know, his game-worn memorabilia, but there is no game-worn merchandise. Oh, here we go. Wait. Nope. Somebody marked it down. There was a Henry Burris Ottawa Riders jersey. It says Ottawa Riders, even though he's on the Stampeders, so that there's a conflict there. And it's been marked down. It said best offer accepted, and it's lower than $50. So it seems like the Henry Burris market has bottomed out. That's what it seems like.
I haven't taken a real close look at the Henry Burris market.
Just need the right answer.
I figured I would update our fans. You know.
Yeah, appreciate that. That stuff's going to spike once he makes it to the Hall of Fame for sure. But I mean, like anything else with CFL, it's all about regional, right? Regional value. His Rough Rider jersey is probably going to run, you know, going to fetch more than his Stampeder jersey or his Ottawa jersey or his Hamilton jersey, right? in that market, so.
You know, if Henry Burris' agent is listening, he should get on that because even like an autographed mini helmet's only $51. His the highest item for a Henry Burris item on eBay in recent memory here since September 7th, and I don't know what year it is, and it's from Canada, less than $99. It was slashed. It's a three-color patch, numbered to 15. And so, yeah, my message is, Henry, talk to your agent. You need to get out there more.
And don't forget, eBay is about 20 to 25% of market value.
Right.
Yeah. Or
so Henry's really in trouble here. Yeah, he needs to merchandise himself better, where Darian Durant is at least making the attempt.
Yeah, you know
can
what?
You just, can you just hear that? Russ, you should come up to the game in Winnipeg and be part of the press scrum. You know, Henry, how did you feel starting against the Bombers defense? Well, you know, they really brought it hard. Their secondary's great. You know, they played a cover one man underneath and you know, but the defense isn't really my concern and the playoffs aren't my concern. I'm really concerned about my eBay value as far as collectibles go. I really want to focus on that in the next 2 weeks.
I think if he was a forward-thinking athlete, I mean, if you're looking at life after the CFL, you would think about your eBay value. And, you know, I mean, it's not like he signed as many photos as Bob Feller, but they're about the same value. You know.
I was going to say, and that's one of the things, right? CFL guys will sign for fans. They're out in front of fans. They're signing jerseys. They're signing hats, all that kind of stuff, much more than your typical, you know, big four league athletes for sure. So, yeah, it's not the same secondary market.
I don't know. I mean, Darian Durant, you know, you're basically only getting stuff from his website. And let's see what a photo costs of Darian Durant. Let's see, an autographed print is $199 and $15 shipping, and that's a print.
Is it framed? Framed?
That's a good question. It does not, no, that's unframed.
And that's on his site?
That's on his website, DarianDurant.com. An autographed photo with a big number 4 and him posed on it is $40, signed in black ink. And, oh, 8x10 is $40, signed in black ink. And then an 11x14 is $70, signed in black ink. So this is a man that has marketed himself. He is putting Henry Burris to shame.
Yeah. Oh, good for Darian. Good for him. I think it's for his charity, by the way, Russ. I could be wrong about that.
It is?
It's for his charity.
Okay. It doesn't say it.
So.
Okay.
Doesn't it? Okay.
All right, let's see. Wait. If I go to the about, maybe it'll, or as you say, a boot. Let's see.
We don't actually say that.
You don't have
There's
to
no
say
There's no such
say
thing
it,
as Canadian bacon either. It's ham.
No, go ahead. Now I want to hear Paolo say the word. Go ahead. Say it.
About?
It's close. Closer than you think. You should tape it and listen to yourself sometimes. It doesn't say it's for charity, but I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. I hope it is. I've certainly given it enough coverage. You can get a picture. Now, here's the money. Here's where the good shots are, okay? You have to really scroll around the website, but you can get a picture of him smoking a stogie with 2013 Grey Cup champs for $45. That's the one I would get, or you can get them holding the Grey Cup for $45. Those are the ones I think you're looking for Darian Durant. These are locker room shots. That's good.
Nice.
And that's it. That's the end
nice
of the Darian Durant show. And
yeah.
Yep.
He should autograph the Stogie and sell it with it.
He may have. He may have sold it already. I didn't eBay search that. I'm afraid to. So I'm not going to do it. But that's going to end this week's 20-yard end zone, and we'll catch everybody next week.
Newfoundland, we'll catch.